Amen. This morning's message is taken from the book of Job, and Scott read a little passage there for you. And this morning's message is just simply titled, A New Year and a Gentle Reminder. I came across this section of scripture a couple of weeks ago as I was reading our daily bread, and I really began to think about this scripture, and it was just a reminder that in, you know, the world that we see around us, or maybe even in the universe that we live in, these are some scriptures that kind of remind us of our place. I don't want to say that we're insignificant, but when we think about the universe as a whole, we're really pretty small in all of that. But the great thing about that is that God doesn't forget us. He doesn't forget us no matter how small we are in this big world we live in. He doesn't forget us even when it seems like that he might. We remember Job. And if we were to go back to chapter 1 and chapter 2, I think we could really think about the word calamity. Job faced a calamitous situation in chapters 1 and 2. He lost his herds. He lost his possessions. He lost all of his family with the exception of a wife who wasn't necessarily encouraging to him. And then he lost his health, and he was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he broke off a piece of pottery, a piece of clay, and he began to scrape at those boils that just itched and bothered him as he was experiencing all these calamitous circumstances at once. As we read chapters 1 and 2, we read that Job was really kind of thrust into the middle of a test. That God and Satan had this conversation, and Satan said to God, you know, the only reason why Job loves you, the only reason why he serves you is because you've blessed him with all these things. And God said, well, let's see. You know, you can do anything to him but take his life. And Job found himself in the middle of this test. And as we would read through the book of Job, we would see that Job had a lot of questions. And really the underlying question that Job had was why? Why? Why is this happening? Why was this taking place? The Life Application Study Bible said that what Job couldn't understand was why he was suffering so much when he was sure he had done nothing to deserve such punishment. And as we read about Job, Job was a righteous man. And we have to remember that in the Old Testament, so many people believe that the suffering that they went through, it had to be tied to some sort of sin in their life. And so here's this righteous man, Job. You know, God had allowed him to be successful, and then all of a sudden, everything fell apart. I mean, the wheels fell off. And so, you know, the question that would have been on his mind was, you know, why? Why is all this happening? Why is all this taking place? And we're going to put ourselves in Job's shoes a little later. And if we would do that right now, we would have had questions too. If we were Job, we would have thought, you know, what has happened? And why am I going through all this? And the truth is, we may not face the calamity that Job faces, but we have questions too. We have questions about why God's doing this and why he's not doing that. And many times we voice those questions and we say them out loud. And so as we start a new year, I just want us to look at some of God's gentle reminders to Job that, hey, I haven't forgotten about you. You might seem small, you might seem insignificant, but I remember you and I take care of you and everything else. As we look at the message this morning, we're going to look at some of Job's other questions because he had questions other than just why. We'll look at how God answered. And as we look at God's answer, to be honest, if we were Job, we'd have probably felt frustrated because it didn't seem maybe like God was answering. And then we'll look at Job's response. And again, I want us to think about, well, what if we were Job? Would we have responded the way he did? And then as we close this morning, I'd just like for us to think about some gentle reminders that maybe we can take with us in the new year, that as we have questions, and we will, that maybe we can remember Job and what he experienced and what he went through. The first place I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning is I'd like you to turn back to Job chapter 3. We've already established the fact that Job had questions, and had we been in Job's circumstance, we would have too. In Job chapter 3, verse 11, we see one of Job's first questions. And it's pretty direct. He said, "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb?" Job really is saying, "Why was I born?" And think about that and consider that for a little bit here this morning. I mean, here's Job. He's had all this success. I mean, everything was going well for him. And then all of a sudden, it just ends. And I think our question might have been, well, was this what I was born for? To experience all this success and then see things just fall apart? Warren Wiersbe says about this question that it's Job's birthday lament. He's lamenting his birthday. Wiersbe says Job's suffering was so intense that he wished he had never been born. I want you to notice what Job didn't say. He didn't say, "I just wish I would die." It's not like that Job is considering taking his own life whenever it might have been something that would have gone through a normal person's head when they see all the calamity that's broken out around them. He's not saying that. He's just wondering, why was I born if I was going to face all these struggles and face all these trials? But he's not talking about ending his own life in the midst of this. Skip ahead to chapter 9. In chapter 9, Job has another question for God. And this one, we're going to kind of look at two verses here. In chapter 2 of verse 9, "Truly I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God?" That's a really profound question that he raises. Because you and I, if we think about God, he's holy, he's righteous, he's perfect, he's without sin. And Job, he knew about God, he knew who God was, and he said, "How could I ever be righteous before God?" And maybe as he's asking this question, he's wondering, you know, what about him was unrighteous that led to everything that he's going through? Look at verse 3. "If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of 1,000. As Job talks about contending with God, it seems like that Job not only has questions, but it seems like Job would like to state his case. That he'd like to call God up and say, "Look, God, I want to say to you, this is what's going on in my life, and I don't understand why all these things are happening." But he says, you know, "I could never answer God's question." And that's true. And we're going to see God ask Job a series of questions here a little bit later, and Job doesn't have an answer. But yet Job has questions for God. Another writer said that Job was really looking for vindication here, that he was looking to be absolved of the wrongs that had led up to his suffering. So again, we think about the fact that at this time, so many people would have believed that the reason why they're suffering is because of the sins that they've committed. So if Job could just make a case before God, he would say to God, he's sorry for whatever he's done wrong. He would ask for forgiveness, and then everything would kind of be restored back to the way it had been. Now let's go ahead to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, another question from Job. In chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Job says this. He says, "Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me." Maybe, I'm sorry, in verse 14, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes." Job needed relief. And it's almost like he thought that maybe the grave would protect Job from his suffering. So it's almost like, to me, this picture of like hiding out in a cave. It's almost like Job's thinking, if I would just go to the grave, and he said there, "Shall a man live again?" this is kind of almost pointing to salvation that's going to come through Christ, but we're not there yet. But it's almost like he's looking for relief anywhere, and maybe if he could just go to the grave and be there for a while, then he could get new life and come up and everything would be restored again. These are some pretty strong questions that Job has for God. You know, why was I born? God, how could I ever be righteous before you? I'm bound to sin, so is that why I'm being punished here? And then shall a man live again? Life Application Study Bible says that what broke Job's patience was not the suffering, but not knowing why he suffered. And we can really relate to that. I mean, none of us like to go through suffering, but we certainly understand not knowing why we suffer, not knowing why we're experiencing the things that we experience. The book of Job, as we go through the first 30-some chapters, it is really a record of Job and his friends and his wife and trying to figure out what all's going on here. And Job has questions. We've just scratched the surface of his questions. Job has complaints. He has concerns. And they just go on and on and on. And you might say, well, that Job, he sure did do a lot of complaining. Well, sometimes we ought to step back and listen to ourselves, because we do a lot of complaining too. And so Job went on and on and on and on. And then it's almost like God finally, in his own mind, decided he heard enough. And so God's going to answer. But God's not going to answer in the way that we might think he would. The Life Application Study Bible says when God finally spoke, he didn't offer Job an answer. Now, wouldn't that have been frustrating? To ask question upon question, expecting an answer, and then hearing the voice of God, but not getting an answer to those questions. That quote goes on, and it says, God instead drove home the point that it's better to know God than to know the answers. I thought that was pretty profound. That it's better to know God than the answers. What do we want? We want answers to our questions. What does God want? God wants us to grow closer and closer to him. And that's what he wanted from Job here. And what God is going to do here, if we were to read through these chapters, like chapters 38, 39, 40, 41, we would see that God is giving Job a gentle reminder that, hey, fella, I'm in control here. I'm in control of these things. I didn't forget about you. And remember that I'm the God of the universe. As we look at some of God's questions for Job, Warren Wiersbe says they can be summarized really in three questions. Can you explain my creation, Job? Can you oversee my creation, Job? Job, can you subdue my creation? So let's look at some of the things that God has to say. And remember, Job's asking questions, but now God's going to ask questions as he responds to Job. Scott read one of them for us a little earlier there in chapter 38, verse 4. God says this, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." So God says to Job, I was around at the beginning. I laid the building blocks of the entire universe. I put together, I formed the earth. Were you there? Now skip down to chapter 38, verse 12. "Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place?" Have we ever thought about God speaking to the morning and telling the morning to rise, to tell the morning to be there? And you might say, well, that's all a part of God's creation, but so is Job and his suffering and his problems and his complaints. And God has said to Job now, were you there whenever I laid the foundations of the earth? Have you ever told the morning to rise? Do you do that every day? Now go to verse 19. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? Job, do you know where the light lives? Could you point people to the direction of darkness? God is reminding Job that he's in charge of all these things. That in this entire universe, God's controlling every bit and piece of it, including what's happening and taking place in Job's life. When God speaks, he's not giving Job an answer. Instead, what he wants Job to remember is that he wants Job to know him and to know him well. And so Job keeps hearing these gentle reminders that God indeed is in control. Go to chapter 39 in verse 19. And I mean, we could read through this entire section of Scripture and see all of these answers that God has given Job, and so many of them are in the form of a question. In chapter 39, verse 19, have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Remember, Warren Wiersbe said that God's questions could kind of be narrowed down to three. And here we see Job asking, or God asking Job, rather, if he could control creation. Have you given the horse its strength? Well, of course not, God. And then look at verse 27. Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? It's almost like saying, you know, Job, do you tell the eagle where to fly? Do you tell him where to build his nest? And of course, the answer to that's no. And then one more question that God raises for Job. In chapter 41, verse 11, God says this, who has preceded me? God says, who was there before I was? And we know the answer to that question. There was no one. God always has been. He always will be. And God says to Job, was there anybody before me? Look at the rest of the question. Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. The Nelson Study Bible says the Lord confronted Job for implying that God owed him something for being righteous. Even if it was just an explanation. Job's saying to God, why? And God says, who do I owe things to? Because I am. I always have been. I always will be. And as I read that question, it really condemned me because I think about the questions that I have for God. And I wonder why God isn't doing this and why he isn't doing that. And God, don't you hear my prayers? And it's almost like I feel like that God owes me something. And I forget about all the things that he's given me. And even in the midst of Job's suffering, he's lost his family, he's lost everything. The one thing that God would not allow Satan to hurt was his life. And so God still gave Job his breath. He gave him his existence. And you might say, well, Mac, that's really easy to preach, but it's what God would want us to hear, that God's not forgotten us. Even in the midst of our struggles, and he doesn't owe us anything because he's already given us so many things. I want us to strap on Job's sandals here for just a second. And I want you to hear those questions that God raised. How would you have answered them? If God said to you, were you there at the foundation of the earth? Can you point the way to light and darkness? Do you give the horse its strength? Who was there before I was? Well, I think about Job, and as God is raising these questions to Job, I kind of wonder how he felt. And I don't know about you, but just kind of reading a few of the things that God says here, I'd have felt pretty dressed down. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have been saying anything. Because God's rather direct. Job, you have questions for me. Now I have questions for you. And the other thing I wonder is, had we been Job, how would we have responded? Or better yet, how do we respond now when we have questions and we don't get the answers? Do we respond with frustration? Do we respond with anger? Hurt? I think Job, it would have been really easy to have been hurt with the way God talked to him. But one of the general reminders I want to share with you this morning is I want to share with you how Job responded. And you might say, well, Mac, Job was one of those biblical figures, man. We put him way up there because, you know, he kind of got it all right. I'm not one of those biblical figures. But he's one of those biblical figures that we really should kind of pattern ourselves after. Because think about the calamity that Job faced and what he went through. He was a man. He had questions. He didn't understand. And he kind of got dressed down by God here a little bit. Look at chapter 40. And look at how Job responds to God in verses 4 and 5. Now this is in the midst of God's address to Job. God's not done. But Job has an opportunity to speak. And look at what he says. Verse 4, chapter 40. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job says, I am vile. We hear that word, and it really has a negative connotation to it. But really what Job is recognizing here is he's recognizing the fact that he's unworthy in the eyes of a holy God. The Hebrew word for vile is insignificant. So we go back to the vast universe that we live in, and here we are, just this little blip in the vast universe, and it makes us seem insignificant. The New Living Translation, if you look at verse 4, it translates it this way. It says, Job said, I am nothing. I will cover my mouth. I have said too much already. I don't know about you, but I'm really good at that, saying too much already. But Job, he understood and he got it, that in the midst of God asking him all these questions, that it was time for him to zip it. It was time for him to be quiet. It was time for him to cover his mouth out of respect to God and listen. And boy, I think we'd all benefit from that sometimes, to just zip it and listen more. And so Job, he's going to listen some more, and God's going to continue, because the rest of chapter 40, all of chapter 41, is God continuing to lay out these questions for Job when Job just wanted answers. Now go to chapter 42, because in chapter 42, Job gets the opportunity to speak again. And again, I just want you to think about, how would you have responded to God? Would it have been, God, I've said enough, I need to zip it, I need to listen? Or would it have been some other way? And then look at Job's second response in chapter 42. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. It's almost like that Job realized that he was out of line. And he goes back to something that you and I all know, and that he knew too. And he said, God, I know that you can do everything. So as God laid out all these things that he had done in creating the world, in controlling creation, and being God and God alone, Job says, I know that you can do everything. And then he begins to confess, and he says, I uttered what I didn't understand. I did not know. And again, we do that a lot too. We speak about things we think we know, but really we don't. And that's what Job says. And Job says, I have heard of you. Remember that quote about what God wanted for Job? God didn't want Job to have the answers. He wanted Job to grow closer to him. And Job said, I have heard of you with my ears, but now I see you. And it's like Job, he's seeing God in a whole new light. And remember, at this point in chapter 42, God has not yet restored Job. So Job is still without family. He's still without possessions. He's still scraping those boils on his arms. And he's saying, God, you can do everything. I was talking out of my head about things I don't understand. I heard about you. I knew who you were, but now I see you and I know you better. And Job says, I abhor myself. Sometimes we think that word abhor, it means hate. I hate myself. But in this context, what Job was saying was, I take back, I recant all those things that I have said. All those questions that I've had, all those whys about why you're not doing this and why you're not doing this and why me and why am I going through all this, Job says, I repent in dust and ashes. And we know that's a sign of true mourning. When somebody covers themselves with dust and ashes, that's a sign of true mourning and true repentance. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, Job's greatest blessing was knowing God better and understanding his working in a deeper way. That kind of lines up with that other quote where what God wanted for Job was Job to have a stronger relationship with God and who he was. The story of Job is one of those ones in the Bible that it's really hard for us to put our heads around it. Because we see all the suffering of this man, and we see him ask all these questions. And then he kind of gets bawled out by God. And God says, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? But Job's response is one of humility. And he recognizes that, hey, I was probably a little bit out of line, God. And I'm glad I see you in a different way here now as a result of all this. And so this morning, as we break into a new year, and it's going to be coming at us fast. You know, there's going to be so many things coming at us, and we don't know what the year holds for any of us. But we do know that we'll have questions. Just like Job, we'll have questions about why this is happening, why that took place, and why didn't this happen? And we're really not all that different from Job. Because the things we read about him, they would be ways that we would describe ourselves, that we utter and we say things we don't understand, and that we don't see all the wonderful things that God has in store for us and in mind for us as we're going through the experiences of life. But I'd like to share a couple general reminders. The first one is, let's imitate Job. Not with all the questions and complaints, but let's imitate Job when he said, I cover my mouth, God, out of respect to you. I've said enough. And God, I'm going to listen more. I think we need to take this year, I think we need to take any year, and just pledge to talk less and listen more. Whether it be to one another, family, friends, church family, most importantly, God, just listen for his gentle voice to remind us of some simple and basic truths. I made it all. I didn't forget about you. Warren Wiersbe says that Job told God, I just did something to my computer here. Job told God, I can't answer your questions. All I can do is confess my pride, humble myself, and repent. We can't answer God's questions. But we can check our pride, humble ourselves, and repent before Him. And so my first general reminder to take away with us today is just to imitate Job. Not in the questions and the complaints, but in checking our pride, being more humble before God, and repenting and seeking His face and His will in all that we do. And the second general reminder would just be that God's got this. That's a phrase that's become kind of important to our family over the last 6 months. We've been wearing these little black bracelets that Ken gave us. And as we shared together some family time last Saturday on Christmas Eve, Ken kind of reminded us of all that. Ken's been pretty much a roller coaster the last 6 months, really the last 4 years. And Ken's been counting the number of extra days that he's been given since he was told he had a year to live. And it's up over like 1,700 going now. And as Ken shared with the family, his wife, his daughters, the rest of us, he didn't use the phrase, God's got this. But he said, no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. Because the reality and the knowledge is that God's got this, that God's in control. And no matter what was going on with Job, and even though Job couldn't see it at the time, God had that. And God was in control of that situation. Chuck Swindoll put it this way, no matter what's going on, God knows what He's doing. And I find myself so often, as something happens, why is this happening this way? Why was there this outcome? Or why didn't something else happen? Or this or that? Let's just remember, God's got this. Again, we don't know what this year holds for us. But if we can imitate Job, and we can check our pride, and come before Him in humility and repentance, and just say, God, I don't know what You're doing here, but I know You got this. There's a reminder in Scripture. And if you'll turn to the book of Isaiah, you don't really have to turn there because you know these verses. But as God spoke to Isaiah, we hear that simple truth that God's in control. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is that but a gentle reminder that God's in control, that He knows what He's doing, and that He's got this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. And Lord, we thank You for the example of a righteous man, Job. We wonder why he had to face such a test. We wonder why he found himself caught in this crossfire. As You and Satan talked about the man that was Job. But Lord, in everything that he faced, You just wanted him to come to that realization where he could say, God, now I see You. And Lord, I believe that's something that You would want all of us to say as we go through this year, that each day, as we get closer and closer to You, that our vision of who You are would become clearer and clearer. And so, Lord, I pray for this year ahead. I pray that You might be with all of our families here at the church. And Lord, each family is dealing with their own set of circumstances. Be it a health concern, or prayers for a family member who's lost, maybe struggles at work, maybe difficulty making financial ends meet. But Lord, I pray for each one because each one is going through their own set of circumstances. And while it may not be as calamitous as what Job felt in our own lives and in our own circumstances, Lord, we need your help. And we need reassured that you haven't forgotten about us, that while we are insignificant in this world, that you are there for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you might help us like Job to speak less, to listen more, and to seek you in humility. And Lord, as we have those questions, the why questions, as we're unsure about what tomorrow holds or next month or next year, Lord, would you just whisper in our heads and remind us that you've got this. Lord, I pray for that for our families here at church. I pray that for our church here as we have questions about what you want us to do. And I pray that you would just remind us that you've got this. And as we look back on the years that's passed and we're reminded of all those times that you held us in your hand, that we would just know that again this year as we seek your face, that you will guide us and help us through the challenges that we experience. We thank you for the reminder of from your word that your ways are not our ways and that your thoughts are not our thoughts. And so, Lord, we pray that your ways would point us closer and closer to you and that we could say like Job, I see you now, and that we would serve you with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. We pray and ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen.